and their babies. We're blessed tonight to be in the house of the living God. Amen. Worship the Lord and let God have his way tonight. Amen.
Praise God. I wonder tonight if you can put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, he is worthy of the praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, everybody in this house, why don't you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Come on, that's it. Lift your voice with your hands tonight. God, we magnify you. God, we worship you tonight. God, you are on the throne. Has he been good to you this week? Come on, do it one more time. Do it from your heart tonight. Come on, it's starting to feel good in this house right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we magnify you. We worship you tonight. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Truly, there is no greater place to be than the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I love what I feel tonight, and I'm thankful to know that my God is still on the throne. I'm thankful to know that we serve a God that is still moved with our infirmity. Amen. I'm thankful that we serve a God that's living. We don't serve a dead God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that God's on time. God knows where we are, every one of us. I just feel just one more time. Would you just lift your hands and begin to pray once again?
God, whatever that spirit is that I keep feeling creeping up, God, I take authority on that thing right now. I refute that thing in the name of Jesus. God, I want you to talk tonight. I want me to move.
Come on, if you desire for the Lord to talk to you tonight, then why don't you just lift your voice honestly and say, Jesus, I love you tonight, and Jesus, I need you. Come on, I feel a certain spirit stirring right now. Come on, he desires to hear your voice. You are the King everlasting. You are on the throne. My friends, when you lift your voice to Jesus, you're not just wasting your breath and you're not just wasting your time. You are communing with the only one that can change your life.
Woo! I feel something tonight.
Amen. I'm thankful to know that he's still in the saving business. Amen. I feel troubled tonight. I know exactly what I feel. And whoever has walked through these doors tonight questioning that, God, I need direction, I hope everybody in this house responds to the Lord like you desire for him to move in your life. And I'm going to follow what I feel in the Holy Ghost, if that's all right. And I give honor tonight to Pastor and Sister Crosswhite and for the vision that they have set for this church and the work that they have put into motion. Amen. Without a vision, the people perish. But oh, I'm thankful for folks with vision. Amen. It may feel like to you that I'm stalling tonight, but I'm making sure that I know what I feel is right now. Because I didn't just come with a pretty sermon this evening. I come with an ultimatum, really. We got to have our mind made up, folks.
Amen.
And I do want to say this evening what a treat it is to have my wife and my two beautiful daughters with me. And my wife would get mighty upset with me if I asked her to testify. But she puts up with enough crazy, so I won't have her say anything. Amen. But some of y'all started laughing when I said she puts up with a lot of crazy. I don't. It's discernment. Okay, it's discernment. Okay. I don't know if some of y'all are relieved that she's here or some of y'all are more nervous that she's here. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. And I love seeing all these young folks come in. I hope some of these young folks in the middle of the service just hop up and run the aisles. I hope that our children feel comfortable enough in church that maybe they don't understand what they feel right now, but hopefully there is something that is growing deep inside. That maybe you don't think that they're getting much. Maybe you think they're a bother or a nuisance. I say bring them all. Because the hell that they fight day in and day out, many of us would never last through it.
That's right.
This is a moment where not only they get to see the church put their hands on them, but they also get to feel the love of Jesus for a little while. I know tonight's going to make several of y'all extremely uncomfortable because I very well may use bus children tonight. Some of these bus children may hop up in the middle of preaching and not understand really what I'm saying, but they want to say, Amen!
Yeah.
Praise God! Because if they can't learn in here, if they can't learn how to react to the presence of God right now, then my friend, it's going to be mighty difficult to win them when they're teenagers and they got their minds made up. I hope that one of these little boys and maybe somewhere in their wild imagination said, man, I'd like to preach like that one day. Well, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. We need everybody that the Lord can send. Hey, man, I'm thankful we serve a colorblind God.
Woo. Amen.
Woo. Folks, I feel something very dangerous tonight. So I'm going to follow what I feel. And I'm thankful for sound voices.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the voice of our pastor. And in his absence, we give honor tonight. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately. They didn't wait for the thunder to roll. The man didn't wait for the lightning to strike. It said, immediately there made him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Folks, I'm thankful this scripture is in the Bible. I'm thankful that this parable, this action is in the Bible. Because it still tells me that even though I'm not perfect, I can still run to Jesus. I am mighty thankful tonight to know that God is able to repair what has been broken. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to know that I don't have to be the same as I was when Jesus found me. Oh, that
may not excite you as much as it does me, but I am thankful to know that he still changes lives. Well, hallelujah. I'm thankful to know that he can still save the doctor and the attorney just as he can save a drug addict and a homeless.
Yes,
indeed. Woo! I'm thankful tonight to know that he's not a respecter of person, but my God's on the throne.
Amen.
And then in Mark 5:8, it would say something so powerful that we overlook. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.
Right.
When you are in the presence of Jesus, there is nothing that can keep you from getting to him unless you don't want to get to him.
Right.
Nothing. Tonight, by the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach for a little while. Sin, you were sweet one time. Amen? And you may be seated. The man's a creature that you would probably meet in your worst nightmare. He's a man that in your wildest imaginations you can begin to play with your mind. And you can take a man that would once be full of life now that has been possessed with demon, driving him to places of violence, places where he would cry out like a wild animal, a dog howling in the night. They would drive him to the solitary places where the only comfort was the voices that would convince him enough that he was too far gone for God to touch. His only comfort would be the holes that was dug in the side of the hills and the tombs that were prepared for the dead. There's no houses that are prepared for men like this in Palestine. There's no hospital. There is no asylum. He was just left to roam about like some ragged wild animal, left to his own demise. I can picture the man's body being white, scarred about his wrist and his waist and his ankles, where surely at one time they could subdue the man. Surely at one time they knew what it was like to understand that as long as they can keep him restrained, he is of no danger to anybody.
Yes.
His haggard body, if you could picture it with me tonight, his haggard body that has been gnashed about with the self-inflicting punishment. Perhaps as he would cut himself, just to see if he could still feel pain. Just to see if he could remember what it was like to feel perhaps like a human again. The man is barely even a resemblance of what it is to be a human man. But I have to pause long enough in this story to ask you, how did this image of God become so marred and defaced? How did the man get to where he is now from the dreams of where he wanted to go? How did he end up now the only place where he could go is the comfort of the dead, a tomb? I don't know if anybody else feels what I feel right now, but I'm asking you to lift your hands tonight with me. God, I feel
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful
I have to understand tonight was the boy that the Bible would depict tonight. Was he not once some mama's little boy, some daddy's pride and joy? What was he not a little boy that was full of life, that knew what it was like to play make-believe with his buddies? Was he not a little boy that would grow in anticipation as a rain would come down to go out in the roads and skip about and play in the mud puddles? Was a little boy that would have big aspirations maybe to be like his daddy or to be like his heroes? A little boy that would grow into a young man, and a young man that would eventually cross a threshold of life of no return, a crossroad of life where there was only things of failure that would await him. Nowhere does it tell me where the man began to struggle, and nowhere does it tell me what the man was struggling with. Perhaps was it personal failures that he never allowed himself to grow over, or that he had never allowed himself to be healed of? Was it family issues that seemed to go on a transfer from generation to generation of dealing with things, but it went too far? It got to the point where I have to believe tonight that the man was used as a spectacle more than once, as he would be in the hills and there would be the troublesome young folks, and the mama and daddy would take him out and say, "Look in the hill and look at that man. If you don't act up, if you don't get things right, this is what you're fixing to become." Don't you ever use somebody's personal shortfall to glorify yourself of where you are. I think it's a grave, grave danger when we start glorying in somebody else's failure to make me feel a little bit better. Perhaps it was a town folk that made the decision that there was no help for him at all. Let me tell you something that is such a beautiful testimony tonight. It's where they would sail across the sea. And I don't think that it was just a happenstance. I think that Jesus heard the man howling and crying at night. And perhaps that was that man's way of repentance. That's why I'm careful to mock anybody. That's why if somebody runs to this altar and they're not responding like I would respond, but they're trying, I'm not going to stand back and make fun of their approach to God. Because I feel like maybe that was that man's way of repenting. Because when they pulled the boat upon on that shore, it said immediately there met him a man. There's an anticipation that better grow in the heart of every individual tonight. That when I get in the presence of Jesus, I'm not just going to lay aside. I'm going to run to get my healing. I'm going to run to get delivered tonight. I'm tired of the way I've been living. I'm tired of the way I've been acting. Let me tell you something tonight. I keep bumping up against it. God can still save homosexuals. God can reach into the depths of a sin-sick soul. Because just as easy as he can speak to a tempest storm, he can speak to a sin-sick soul and make that thing whole again. I don't believe that we need another 12-step program. I don't need that. I don't feel like we need another 6-month recovery program. We need to get in the presence of Jesus, and we need to say, "God, I need deliverance."
God, I feel that so strong tonight. I pray that we have such a revival of backsliders that understand that there is still a span of mercy. I wish I had a house full of people that could get excited that he is still in the saving business. Because what couldn't destroy the man? By association. They would try to drive him out and they'd say, you'll die alone and you'll die where you are. I rebuke that spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. My friend, you don't have to be alone. You don't have to die alone. It's that personal shortfall that gets a hold of people. And they refuse to turn loose of it. Mm-hmm. It's impersonal things that we don't want to let come to the surface. And you're saying, oh, Brother Main, you're canceling out the need for counseling. No, I'm not. No. I believe there's a time for that. But when you start using everything to substitute the presence of Jesus, and that thing's going to grab a hold of you, and it's going to latch onto you with such a hold that it's hard to get away from. What's up, man? But more than ever, I don't know about you, but I needed the mercy of Jesus more than once. I needed God to change my life more than one time. I needed God to say, hey, I know you've messed up, but here's a span of mercy. Get right. Because has there been personal shortfalls? Yes, there's been personal shortfalls. Has there been family issues that I've had to get over? Yeah, there's been family issues I've had to get over. Amen. Who said that? Come on. Amen. I don't find it embarrassing one bit, y'all. Because maybe that was an amen that'll put a seal on his life. Amen. I don't want you ever going to a dead, dry church, my friend. I want you to go somewhere where God can save your whole family. See? Oh. Woo. See, but when we start entertaining them personal shortfalls, we make up our mind whether God is able to deliver me or not in that. And as long as I can keep covering up personal shortfalls, as long as I can keep looking the part and acting the part, then I'll be okay. Eventually we're going to find ourselves among the tombs. We're going to find ourselves alone. See, but here's another side, Brother Tommy. That man had to have known how to worship Jesus at one point. He didn't just run to him, I don't think, out of impulse. I think he ran to him with purpose. And understanding that this is my opportunity. That's why I get tired in church. I get tired when I'm preaching and I get tired when I'm altar working. But I'm going to treat this service like it's my most important service. Because what if this is my last service?
That's right.
Where God intended to deliver me, but I was too busy sulking in my own issues. But he was saying all along, I'm here to deliver you. It's the opening up of desires, unknown desires. I'm going to hit it head on. And Brother Main's not being ugly, and Brother Main's not being judgmental. We had a good friend of ours walked into a church, and he was a full-blown homosexual. He had a boyfriend, didn't he, Molly? He came to the altar and God delivered him. I still believe in it. And I don't know why I keep bumping up against that, but people in this house, you need to understand that God is sending people with backgrounds that we may not approve of. Does not substitute the necessity of God saving somebody's soul. Maybe their lifestyle. Hey, hallelujah. And I'm not condoning sin. But I am telling you tonight that we serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of grace. We still serve a God that can look me. Oh, we serve a God that can look me and you in the eye in the altar. And he says, I can restore what has been broken. Even if it was my decision. Well, Brother Main, people's going to talk about me. Well, praise God, let them talk. Because, what's your name? Cool, Billy, my name's Tim. Come on. Because if we're too busy with everybody talking about us, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, the Holy Ghost hits us, I'm going to be worried about who's looking at me. Hey, hallelujah. But if God is still in the restoring business, then who are you to say that God can't do something? I'm sorry, my friend. You've come too late to tell me that God can't deliver. Yeah. I ain't even going to fool with you tonight. She hemmed me up the other night. What'd you say to me? Why are you so short? Y'all got her name wrong, so she hemmed me up after service. I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. What did you say the other day? Do you remember? No? Okay. We're still friends, okay. I'm going to use y'all tonight, okay? Yeah, I'm fixing to use y'all here in a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I'll use you too, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, you too. Amen. Let me tell you something. If the church isn't pulling for people, then who in the world's going to pull for them? I've come tonight to preach my heart, and I know it's going to ruffle feathers, but I'm going to preach exactly what I feel for the next few moments. Sister Crosswhite, I believe God is sending backsliders back that has hurt people. Because I guarantee you that whenever Jesus said, hey, you can't follow us, you better go tell people what happened. And then they would see that man clothed and in his right mind. They would say, I thought you were dead. I thought you were too far gone. And he'll say, but Jesus. Come on. But Jesus. Oh, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. But I can testify tonight that my God is still merciful. Yes, yes. So we're going to have people come through them doors that, yes, they have hurt you. Yeah, they've slandered the church. Woo, praise God, they get another chance. Amen. Okay, hold on. I'm glad you're rejoicing with me because I hope you got a backbone enough spiritually that you're willing to forgive them. Because if you believe in Jesus' name baptism to be apostolic, then hon, you better believe in restoration. There it is. Go ahead, buddy. Run the aisle. The testimony of deliverance that is going to break the bondage of the things that I said, God, I'll never be able to break through. We got people tonight that you look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's just full of dead men bones. And my friend, we're no better than the sinner down the road. But if I ever allow myself to cause justification because I am holier than someone else. What was your name, Benny?
Billy.
Billy, Billy, Billy. Billy, I'm going to ask you about 10 more times tonight, Billy.
But I asked your name last time, didn't I? What was your name? Frank? Billy and Frank. This is perfect. Billy and Frank. We serve a big God, Billy. You hear me? I don't know you and you don't know me, but we serve a big God. You even got family members that call you a hypocrite for sitting in church tonight. But you sell out and you live for God, you watch God save some of them idiots. I'm telling you, I don't care what's happened in the past. Because I can look at you and I can say it honestly and you'll have to answer it honestly. Is there anything you can turn back that clock and change? No way. Quit living there, my friend. That anointing that you have felt in time past, that still rolls in your mind when you lay your head on that pillow and tears start flowing, it's time to tap back into that thing, Billy. It's time to say, God, I don't know what happened, but God, here I am.
Amen.
Because, Billy, watch this. Watch this. The church will accept you. We can reach out and I can say, God, I don't know what's going on in my life, but God, I'm standing firm in what I know you are.
Amen.
Come on, you four men on that front row, move these pews out for me. Two and two. But if I ever get to the place where I feel like I'm so spiritual enough that I can't reach out to somebody else, I better quickly find myself an altar.
That's right.
I don't want to be a polished Pentecostal preacher. I want to be a reflection of the mercy of God. Because let me tell you, sin can be sweet for a moment. But stolen waters are sweet, and bread that is eaten in secret is pleasant. Woo! But the end thereof, it's always the same. When you start playing around with God and you start entertaining things, I'm talking to church folk tonight and I'm talking to guests tonight, that you start entertaining them thoughts that will separate you from God. My friend, you better understand, and you need to hear Tim Main tonight. There has to be a fine separation from the world and the things that do not glorify God. You better cause there to be a line in your life to say, this is a line that I have drawn. And it's not a line in the sand, but this is a line that I refuse to move away from. These are the things that do not please God, and I refuse to go over that line. These are the things that I have consecrated to God, and this I'm going to fall in love with. Because we know that when somebody is degraded by sin, come on, Brother Butler, help me. Come on, Brother Watson, help me. Because we know that when somebody is degraded by sin, they become so weak and they become so vulnerable to everything else. That sin enters in. Let me tell y'all something. I want every one of you young folks to listen to Brother Main tonight. Tommy, listen to me tonight, man. There's a man in Florida that he fell in love with snakes. The man had his mind made up and he begged his wife. He said, babe, he said, can I please get a rattlesnake? He said, I want a rattlesnake really bad. I want a rattlesnake really bad. I want everybody to listen to me right now, okay? He finally convinced his wife, Brother Watson. Yeah, I'll get you a snake, whatever. He got that baby rattlesnake. And he set it up in his house, and it was a ritual every day, Brother Crosswhite, from a baby. He'd walk by, first thing in the morning, he'd stick his finger in the cage. He'd keep his eye on that snake, and as that snake would get ready to lunge, he would pull his finger out and start laughing at it. mocking it. Months went by, years went by. It was a daily routine. The snake grew a little bit faster, and the man grew a little bit more comfortable. Frank, he would put his finger in the cage. His wife would start having some intense fellowship with him. We can call it that. Start hollering at him, "What are you doing? A snake's going to bite you." "No, no, no. See, me and this snake have something going. We got an understanding." Yeah. He puts his finger in that cage, and once again, he's seen that snake, boom, lunch out, and he would rip his finger back. That day, he put his finger in the cage. Billy, something caught his attention. That snake lunged and bit him. We play around with sin until it bites us. We say that we can tame this thing. I know we got young ears in this room right now, so I'm going to use words that everybody can understand. You play around with lust long enough, it's going to bite you. You develop a lion spirit long enough, it's going to bite you. You develop an entertaining of the things that don't glorify God, it's going to end up biting you. And then, here's the scariest part of it. You're left alone. You're left out by yourself. You're left out feeling like God don't even love you. You're feeling like you have no opportunity at all. What's your name, man? I need you to talk loud with me, brother. Junior? Come on, Junior. You're going to help me tonight, buddy. Junior, can you be honest with me tonight? Have you ever made a mistake? Yeah, me too, man. You ever done something real bad? Me too, man. Come on. I want you to get on the end of this rope, buddy. Right here. See? And when you're doing them bad things, you feel the strongest man in the world, don't you? You feel like nothing can touch you, don't you? Yeah, so go ahead and get on the end of this rope. Pick that thing up, man. See, and it's then, come on, brother, right here. And then I thought you said that when you were doing them things, you felt big and bad. Yeah, you do. Okay, cool. I'm glad. So this is that lying spirit where you always lying. Oh, come on, Tommy. Oh, it's that lustful spirit. It's that feeling like you invincible. Yeah. You feel strong, don't you? You know that you finna win. Buddy. Do you confidently think you can beat them in a tug of war? You do. Okay. Well, we didn't even say go, and they already pulling. What the world? See, all y'all rebellious. Ready? You ready, Junior? You got your muscles on? You ready? All right, ready? One, two, three, go.
Pull, Junior, pull. Pull.
Sin. But this is the sin you're fighting. It's not even moving, buddy. You're fighting against stuff that you feel like you can conquer by yourself. And then see his buddies are laughing.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah. He ain't finna laugh. He said, "No! I ain't about to get with you, little midget man." Okay. So come on, okay, come on. Oh, you finna get ready, ain't you? She's like, yeah. So now you feel like some of your buddies are going to come and justify what you've been doing, right? Yeah. And so that makes you feel better now that you got buddies around you, don't you? What about you? You want to help them too? Oh, boy, see, now you're real hype. You're real excited. But what are you going to do when Jesus don't show up? You still gonna be bad when Jesus don't show up. No. Then why are you already intimidated by what you've been struggling with? Because you got friends to comfort you? Woo. Think about it. Think about it, Junior. See, why you in the back? You supposed to be in the front. Look, you're supposed to be the leader. So what are you leading your friends into? Are they going to become like you are?
No.
Do you want them to do the same bad things you've been doing?
No.
Then why you letting them follow you then? Why are you letting them pull on that tug of war of sin? Because it feels good, right? And that's what every one of us do. Anybody else want to help me? Come on, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Come on, recruit some of your friends. Come on, J-Baby. Come on, J-Baby. I have no idea who J-Baby is. Are you J-Baby? Okay, that's J-Baby. Who?
Zara right there.
Come on, Zara.
Yeah.
Whoa, look at this. Whoa. We got the whole squad tonight. Come on. Come on. You did not just say you show about this. All right, hold on. But watch, I want to show you something. Hold on, Junior. Y'all hold on, watch.
Listen.
Watch this, watch. The more people that you get behind you, y'all been doing bad stuff too?
No.
No, don't you lie. You see, you finna lie right now, Jay, baby. Oh, so you did, so you lie. You lie. Okay, I need some more help. He up here lying. Come on. Come on, Brother Butler. No, not yet. Y'all hold on.
Which side do you want me on, down there?
No, I want you right here.
Okay.
Come on, Brother Watson. Y'all ready? Okay. Look. So have y'all ever done anything bad?
Yeah.
You did? Cool. All right. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tommy. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Pull. But watch this.
Hey, okay.
Now, come on, Junior, get back up. See, hold on. Now, y'all move away. See, Junior been a bad influence. But watch it. Hold on. I just need Junior. We preaching to Junior right now. And now I want you to do something, okay? Don't tie that around your leg, brother. You're going to hurt yourself. Here, let me have it. Look, hold it with your hands. I want you to look at me. How would you react if Jesus was pulling behind you? Would you still be doing the things you've been doing?
No.
Why?
Because
you love Jesus, then why do you act like you act if you love Jesus? And I'm asking the adults in this church the same thing. This ain't a children's message. This just ain't for the babies tonight. Because adults, here, Junior, let me see behind you. Give me some of that string. Come on, let go. You're going to hurt your hand, buddy. All right. Now go up about 2 or 3 feet right there. Stop. Come on, Brother Watson. See?
Oh, you don't want to get off the rope like that, buddy.
See? Look. You ready? Now see, some of y'all think this is crazy elementary tonight. You got muscles, Elder? All right. See, Junior, watch this, buddy. Not yet. Watch. Watch this. See, this is why you got to have the Holy Ghost. Look, because when you get the Holy Ghost, that's power. That's power to overcome. Do you want to trade places with one of your friends? All right, here, let me trade places with him.
No.
Go sit down for me.
I got to pick.
You got to pick. Come on.
All right, pick. Hurry up. Pick.
Girl,
all right, cool. Let it be a girl.
Go get
come on, Jar.
All right, go sit down. Hurry.
Come on.
Hurry.
Come on. See?
Come on.
Oh, now the odds are really stacked up against her. Come on, huh? See? Look. Are you confident enough in... hold on, I want y'all to be quiet. Listen. Are you confident enough in your walk with God that you know you can overcome things you've been struggling with? You are? But can you do it alone? That's why we got to have the Holy Ghost, young folks. We got to have God pulling for us.
Amen.
Come on, brother. Come on, I need help. Come on, brother, I need help. It's all right. Watch it. Scoot up a little bit more. See, when you sell out to God, Acts 1 and 8 says that you shall receive power. You don't have to struggle with them things, okay? You don't have to fight against things that your family has fought against. Because look behind you. When you sell out to God, you get a support system.
Hey, look, got my friend coming.
Yeah. And see, that's why, young folks, this is why it's so important for you to get the Holy Ghost. Because you can't do it by yourself. You can't fight against, you can't fight the things that you've been fighting by yourself. And see, when you get the Holy Ghost, that means you got God inside of you. So it don't matter what's been fighting against you. It matters what's pulling behind you.
That's right.
That's why adults, you can become so comfortable in the way that you're living that you obsolete when the Holy Ghost is trying to pull for you.
Come on.
I'm talking to people that you feel like God's been on your side forever. Then why are you still struggling with things? Why are you still putting up with the things you've been doing for a long time?
Come on.
It's because, Brother Maine, you don't know how big the struggle's been. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? When you get really, will you be real honest with me? When you get really discouraged, do you just cry sometimes? I do. Come on. When you get really like scared, like you just like, oh, Jesus, I need you. You ever do that? Me too. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Not yet. See, when the Holy Ghost moves, you start struggling with things. You can say, God, I know that you are real. You ready? Because this is the fear. This is the lack of self-confidence. This is feeling like you're never going to be anything. And then you say, Jesus, I need your help. When you say that, you watch what happens. But you got to say it loud. Say it like you're at the house. There you go. Get ready and say, Jesus, I need your help. Do it.
Whoa!
See, and they don't even have the go to fight you. They don't even have the strength to fight against what's been happening in time past. See, and I wish there was adults in this house that you would get so full of the Holy Ghost that the things that you've been battling against, it don't even stand a chance about what's been fighting you. But we just think it's good Bible stories. Let me tell you something. God wants to use every one of you young folks. What's your name?
DJ.
DJ, what if God called you to be a great missionary one day?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
But you got to start doing something right now to achieve what you want to be in God.
That's right.
Not yesterday. Not last week. What do you want to do one day? What if God called you to be a preacher one day?
I want to go to heaven.
Me too.
Amen.
Look, but what are you doing to get there then?
Be good.
Yeah, you got to help people. That's what we're talking about right now. How many of y'all have the Holy Ghost? You got the Holy Ghost? You talked in other tongues?
I wish I would.
Woo! We need the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, you know what the Holy... You know, you spoke in other tongues, sis? That's the Holy Ghost. And that's the evidence of God coming to live inside of you. And when God does that, that means that He's going to pull for you forever. And I'm closing tonight, but I want everybody in this house to understand one thing. Frank, I want you to understand it with me tonight. Adults, I want every one of you to understand something right now. Because watch this. What's your name again, Elder?
Daryl.
Daryl, has there ever been struggles? High five. Come on, I've been to ask everybody.
Yeah.
Huh? What, Billy?
Yes, sir.
Whoa, bunch of struggle. Frank, you have a struggle? Cool, me too. Air high five. I'm too big to get through there, so. You ever struggle? You a Bible college student. You struggle? Yeah. Every day. Hey. Hey, we in church. Why y'all fighting? Y'all better watch it. Jesus is watching you right now. He'll give you an upset stomach. What about you, Elder? How long you been living for God? 58 years thereabout. Have you ever struggled?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, oh, yeah. Okay, well, let me go ahead and ease everybody's mind. Pastor Crosswhite. Pastor. Right. Have you ever struggled past 28 years? Amen. Every day.
Come on.
See, watch, y'all. Y'all little brother Crosswhite? Yeah. Ain't none of y'all paying no attention now. Why y'all talking about crazy stuff right now? Hey, look. You little brother Crosswhite. You want brother Crosswhite to be a sound voice in your life? Me too. Every day there's struggles. Now I want every one of you young folks to look with me. Look at some of these adults. I want y'all to see something with me, okay? Adults, how many of y'all struggle? Y'all look with me, for real. Look. Every one of these adults struggle. We got to have God. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Y'all's probably some of the smartest people I've ever met. You ever struggle? Yeah. Me too. We preach all over the nation. I could ask my wife if she ever struggles, but I already know the answer to it. She probably struggles because she puts up with me. I'm probably her biggest hindrance. Oh, we ain't going to turn this into marriage counseling. Jesus. Y'all finna get me in so much trouble. I might not even get invited back after this weekend. He done pointed at his wife. 58 years living with God. Yep, she still gives me struggles.
Yeah.
She causes me to fast. Folks, if there was ever a time that you need to be sure about your walk with God, young folks, what if tonight's your last service? Look at me. I'm serious. Look at Brother Maine. What if tonight is your last opportunity to talk to Jesus and you miss it? It'd be me too, buddy. It would hurt, wouldn't it, Jay? What if tonight Jesus is saying, I want to talk with you right now. Would you be man enough to cry in front of your friends? I would be. Man, me too. What if you could just feel the Lord wrap his arms around you tonight? He can. Do any of y'all want to learn how to pray tonight? I'm going to teach y'all how to overcome. Okay, y'all, hold on. I wonder if there's anybody in this house tonight that you'd be transparent enough to say, Brother Maine, I'd like to learn how to start over again. Ladies on this side and men on this side, if you want to learn tonight, quickly move, please. I'm closing. Come on, Billy. Come on, Elder. Come on, Elder, if you can. No, go ahead. It's fine. Come on. Y'all go stand by one of these men. Come on, Jay. Jay, you're going to stand with me. Come here. Come on. You're DJ, right? Hey. One of y'all go find one of these men. And y'all stand by. Okay. Go. Hurry up. One of you young ladies, y'all go find another young lady. Come on. Come on. Quickly. Come on. More than anything, I want everybody to look at me right now. More than anything, I want God to touch me every service. DJ, what if tonight God said, I'm tired of seeing him struggle. I'm just going to put my arm around him and love on him. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah. Y'all ready? I'm going to show you how to get right. Y'all ready? And I want everybody to do this. Even you young kids. DJ, you're going to do it with Brother Main. Me and you going to be the example. You ready? Because this is how you have to do it. Because he don't know unless we tell him.
Right.
If you wanted a soda, how in the world am I going to know you want a soda unless you say, hey, Brother Main, can I have a soda? You got to ask, right? Cool, man. We're on the same page. So if I said, hey, I'm thirsty, DJ, can I have a bottle of water? You'd try to get me a bottle, wouldn't you? Why do we think God's any different?
Spoken prayer requests, I don't find it in the Bible. Let your petition be. This is how you start over. This is how you restart. Can everybody see and hear me?
Sir.
I want you to do it. You ready, DJ? We're going to lift our hands. And we're going to say, Jesus, I love you. God, I need you.
Lord, I need you in my life tonight.
Now I want you to do it personally. You let it hear you. Jesus, I love you.
I love you, Jesus. I need you in my life. I want to make you happy, Lord. I want to please you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Help me to listen when you speak to me. I need you, Lord. I've messed up and I've made mistakes. I ask you, would you forgive me, Lord? I'm sorry for the things that keep me from you. I ask you, Lord, bring me close to you, Jesus. I want to be close to you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Lord. Oh, you are my friend and you do listen and you do understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you know and understand. You love me. I'm so grateful, Lord. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord. Help me make better choices, Jesus. You, Jesus, you see and you know and you understand. Oh, God, you're good. Thank you for knowing my name. Thank you for seeing me every day. Thank you for loving me. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. Love me, I thank you for it. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. I bless your name, God, I want to talk to you today. I bless your name, gotta get to you, Jesus. I've gotta get to Jesus, I gotta get to Jesus. That he's the answer to my need. Bring him all your problems. Only he can solve them. Mend the broken pieces. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus.
Come on, I wish you adults.
would lift your voice tonight and love on Jesus. Come on, if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, begin to repent. Come on, let repentance flow in this house right now. God, I love you. I need you, Jesus.
I've got to get
come on, that's
Jesus.
It.
Gotta get to Jesus. I know that He's.